I may just need it.
It will be a pleasure. But pray hurry, for we must move.
Mildred nodded and swabbed her own arm. She plunged the syringe into her vein and depressed the plunger, waiting for the sensations to wash over her. As the bile rose in her throat, she ground her teeth to stop herself from vomiting as she leaned into Tanner. The old man enfolded her in his arms, feeling the muscular contractions run through her, and knowing every step of the way how she felt. He continued to hold her until the sensations subsided, and Mildred was able to think of something other than the fire in her blood and the sweat that made the illuminated uniform stick to her back. Within a short time, she was able to right herself and stand apart from Doc.
We shall continue.
First thing is to load up on the antidote. Get as many of the vials in that cupboard as possible in your pockets, and the syringes.
Expeditiously.
Then we need to fire the virus where it sits, wipe it out. But leave that table. If we can get rid of these bastards, I want that there so I can come back and work on more antidote.
Very well. How do we destroy the virus?
Mildred looked across at the benches. The atmosphere within the glass cabinets was maintained by a mixture of gases that were fed from main pipes. She figured that the mix would have a high percentage of oxygen. Plastic hosing carried the gases from the outlets and into the airtight chambers housing the petri dishes.
Leave it to me, Doc. It'll be a pleasure.
I shall leave it to you. I shall just survey the room where the computer leads come from.
As Doc disappeared, Mildred checked the pipes and how they ran into the glass chambers. On the benches were dials controlling the mix of gases. She'd been right. Firing the culture should be simple.
Goodbye, bitches.
A short laser blast hit the hoses feeding the gases into the chamber. The plastic melted under the bolt of light. The heat ignited the oxygen. The flames spread into the chamber, washing over the cultures and eradicating them.
Well, goddamn!
She turned her attention to the other two chambers.
Shit, why does it have to be so loud?
She listened for any indication of oncoming sec, but there was nothing. There was only Doc in a distant room.
Lord, save us from this abomination!
What now, you old coot?
Mildred raced through the lab until she was on the threshold of the room in which Doc stood.
You ungodly spawn of Satan! You demon!
She sped through the doorway and was brought up short by the obscenity that confronted her.
Oh, my God.
The wires led into a tank filled with nutrient fluids and were attached to a fully grown human being curled into a fetal state.
What the...
This is the fourth Emil Taschen. The obscene blank slate, cloned for a purpose that no longer exists, with nothing to give him identity. Please, put him out of his misery.
The clone turned in the tank, eyes opening and focusing blankly on the two people on the outside of the tank.
Oh, hell no! There. Doc, we need to get the hell out of here. There's been too much noise, and we need to try to get the others.
My dear woman, I shall be only too glad to get the hell out of here. Or to get out of hell, as I feel the eternal fires themselves could not be worse than this.
That's something we'll really have to see. I just hope they got down to the bottom level without too much trouble in the way.
For the rest of the companions, the journey back to free the gate had been a little more difficult. They had to traverse areas of the redoubt that had a much denser population. It made caution a necessity and meant that progress was slower than any of them would have liked. So the companions continued down the levels of the redoubt, taking cover and sending scouts ahead to assess the territory. Christy mostly took this role, as her illuminated uniform was the least damaged. It would be easier for her to blend in with the rest of the redoubt. Each corridor on each level was scouted by the woman, and when the way was clear, the rest of the party would follow her in tight formation, Ryan in the lead, JP at the rear. The halls were surprisingly free of personnel for some time. Whatever Taschen had them working on besides his biological warfare campaign kept them hard at their tasks. They rarely seemed to leave their admin and science bays. On the rare occasions that an illuminated one walked out of a room, they were able to take cover easily. All itched to take out the enemy rather than skulk in hiding. It went against their grain, but they all knew that it had to be this way. Get the gate free, and the cleaning up could begin. As they progressed, JB kept checking his wrist chron.
What's up, JB?
It's been a while since they left us. It's hard when you don't know how much time they need.
Harder still when you have to do things this way.
They were now at the point where they would have to cross the chasm on the narrow bridge. They were most vulnerable here, both to discovery and attack. Christy had traveled on ahead to scout the entrance to the bridge, and she returned as Ryan and JB spoke.
So what's it like up ahead?
It could be better, lover. There's no one around on this side. The rooms nearest the door are empty, but I'm not sure about the other side. I couldn't risk taking a look across in case I was spotted and blew it before we even got there.
That was the right thing. We're just gonna have to go for this one and hope.
Christy fell into formation behind Ryan, and they moved forward on the double down the hall. The rooms around were deserted. They reached the sector quickly. Ryan paused before keying in the door code.
We'll take this as quickly as possible. Anyone comes in from the other side, then I'll try and take them out with a blade. I just hope the bridge doesn't go. Let's do this.
Taking a deep breath, he began to run across, Jack's knife grasped firmly in his hand. If he had to face an enemy, he'd rather use a blade than risk the bridge's metal being melted by laser blaster fire. He felt the bridge begin to move beneath his feet, swaying with the rhythm of his run. The swaying grew more extreme as the others joined Ryan.
Fire blast.
Ryan grabbed at the thin rail as the bridge began to swing wildly beneath him. He looked over the side of the bridge at the darkness below. The shapeless subhumans that lived along the rock shelf became little more than rapidly moving blurs.
Stop! Everyone stop! If we don't, it'll pitch us right off!
They held onto the rails as the bridge's momentum slowed and the metal walkway steadied.
Dark night! I thought we were going to do the job for the Illuminated Ones ourselves!
The armorer clasped his fedora to his head and fought the dizziness and waves of sickness that still assailed him.
Yeah, I reckon we should be a little more careful the rest of the way across. You know, try not to upset the balance too much.
Ryan looked around. They were more than halfway across. They would have to go slow, but it would be for a shorter distance. But they were still vulnerable.
Okay. Slow and easy now.
The metal bridge began swaying again under the combined rhythm of their walking, but the slower, lighter movement kept it to a minimum. Looking down again, Ryan could see that they were now over the rock ledge, and within 20 feet of the sector. It had all been too good so far. Sooner or later, trouble was going to hit them. As Ryan looked up again, the sector they were headed for began to rise. Ryan could see the lower half of an illuminated one. Narrowing his eye to get a better view, he was sure that there was only one opponent, which should make it easier for him to handle. But then again, the illuminated one would have a laser blaster, and Ryan only Jack's knife. The door rose to head level, and an illuminated one stepped under the door and onto the bridge, then looked up with an astonished expression. He was a tall, gangling man who had his laser rifle strung across his back. He gaped at Ryan, who'd taken two steps toward him before he even had a chance to try to swing around his rifle.
No, you don't.
Ryan rushed the soldier. He had to end this quickly. The blade glimmered in the dull light as it sliced through the air. Ryan delivered a roundhouse action that brought the blade into the soldier's arm, just above the elbow, as he reached for his rifle. The blade came around and cut through into his ribs and chest, slicing through bands of muscle. The illuminated soldier staggered to the side, carried over by the momentum of the blow, and fell heavily against the rail. The bridge swayed dangerously, and the companions had to grasp at the rail. Ryan, trying to extract the blade from his adversary, was carried after him. It was the man's downward momentum that gave Ryan the extra purchase he needed to pull the thing free, but still it began to topple him. Ryan looked over the side at the rock shelf 20 feet below. He could survive the fall, but what would the beasts below do to him? And even if he could evade them, how would he get back up here? Jack's knife finally came free, and the illuminated soldier plunged to the rock shelf below. A cloud of dust rose from beneath. As Ryan watched, a group of the creatures began to shamble from around the ledge, heading for the dying man. They clustered around him. The soldier was lost beneath a dense throng of half-humans, venting their fury at one of their captors. Ryan felt himself being pulled back and turned to find Christy grabbing him.
Be a pity to lose you after you had already won the fight, lover. And to see you end up like that.
Yeah, No shit. Let's get moving. We don't need another one like that.
It was simple to evade the illuminated ones for the rest of the short journey. Once past the bridge,